There is a new wave of rampant anti-Semitism in the world and in the church. Was this prophesied, and could this lead to the Antichrist? Is this actually the harbinger of the Antichrist? We're going to talk about that, and then what other scary lessons from history are we ignoring as a culture? What are we seeing in America happening right now that we have seen in history before, and can we use that to hypothetically predict where the country is headed in the very near future? All of that and more on today's Peck Report. All right, everybody. I hope you have had a great day. Hope you're having a great day. Everything's going great here. I got to tell you though, the set here. I've built this set in my basement. If you haven't seen the wide shot, what it looks like lately, I got to fix that. But that's kind of the layout. And it is so hot down here. I'm wearing shorts. I had to take the suit jacket off. It's just unbearable. I live in Missouri, so it's really humid. I don't even have the benefit of a dry heat. It's this sticky, wet, just awful, muggy heat. So, it's one of the only things I don't like about living in Missouri. Everything else I love. I absolutely love Missouri. I don't like the heat and I don't like the wasps. Besides that, though, all the good stuff about Missouri is well worth those couple of inconveniences. A lot of it is the people here, because where I live, we don't live in St. Louis. We live in a small town, and in small town Missouri, people haven't forgotten what America is all about. It runs deeper than just being a lot of conservatives here. It runs deeper than that. It just to me is the perfect example of America. Just what America was always supposed to be. I absolutely love it. And that does play into what we're going to be talking about today. First, though, Breaking Israel News put out this column or article about a recent wave of anti-Semitism in the U.S. that was apparently hinted at by the prophet Jeremiah. They quote Jeremiah 31:15 from the Israel Bible, which says, "Thus said Hashem, restrain your voice from weeping, your eyes from shedding tears, for there is a reward for your labor, declares Hashem. They shall return from the enemy's land." So they quote that. And I've seen this myself, and you probably have too. Anti-Semitism is really on the rise. I mean, you see it a lot on the political left in America. You see it a lot there, but you're seeing it in the church too. I don't even think this is not a mainstream like Christian view. Like, most Christians don't buy into this anti-Semitic stuff, but a lot of loud voices online do. And they build huge audiences based on their distrust of Jewish people and their overall hatred of Israel. It's insane to me that it's gotten as far as it has. But I do want to talk about that. What is feeding that? But also, Orthodox Jews look at this as a precursor to their Messiah. Now, of course, we know the Messiah is Jesus Christ, so their Messiah has already come. It's up to us to try and convince them of that and share that news with them to spread the gospel to those who will listen. But Orthodox Jews, they reject Jesus, so they're still looking for a Messiah. And we've talked a lot on this show that it's possible that Messiah figure will actually be the Antichrist. So we've talked about that before. Could this rise in anti-Semitism actually bring forth the Antichrist? Now, there have been a lot of recent attacks. There's been a report by the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, that shows that anti-Semitic incidents have increased by nearly 60% in 2017, which marks the largest single year increase on record. 2018 was even worse, with a doubling of anti-Semitic assaults. The single deadliest attack against the Jewish community in American history took place in October of 2018, when a gunman entered the Tree of Life synagogue outside Pittsburgh, killing 11 and injuring 7. Last April, a shooter entered the Chabad of Poway synagogue in Poway, California, killing 1 and injuring several others. There's a partial list of recent anti-Semitic attacks in the U.S. and Canada that shows that this disturbing trend is gaining momentum. So here, I'll turn on screen share so you can see what I'm looking at. So this is the list here that we can look at briefly. Three Hasidic Jews were violently mugged. And this is not a complete list, by the way. This is a partial list. Three Hasidic Jews were violently mugged early Monday morning in two separate incidents in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Police arrested a Las Vegas man on charges that he was planning an attack on a synagogue. An unregistered weapon and bomb-making materials were found in his home. A Brooklyn resident allegedly sprayed a Hasidic man with an unknown substance last Friday in Crown Heights and made anti-Semitic remarks. The suspect was arrested and charged with hate crime. Tires on over 50 vehicles owned by Jews were slashed over the weekend in the predominantly Jewish town of Lakewood, New Jersey. All of the victims were Jewish. This is the second time this month that this type of attack has taken place in Lakewood. Police are treating it as a bias crime. Unknown assailants fired BB guns at the L.A. Yeshiva 10 days ago. An attack 10 days ago on two Jewish boys in Toronto is being treated as a hate crime. This comes 1 week after two anti-Semitic incidents in Montreal. Though anti-Semitic incidents are considered rare in Canada, 2018 marked an all-time high. Now, this, again, it's only a partial list. And it's only in U.S. and Canada, and it's only during a brief time, and it's not even taking into account all of the remarks made by political leaders, specifically on the left, that have been horrendously anti-Semitic in nature. And you know, of course, we would expect that from them because they're total racist. They want to call everybody else racist, but we all know they actually are. They're racist and they're liars. That's why they spend their time focusing on race, yet claiming all of their opponents are racist. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But before we do, Rabbi Nir Ben Artzi, a well-known mystic rabbi in Israel, noted in his weekly sermon that this rise in anti-Semitism will only get worse as the Messiah approaches. Now, before anybody says, why are we listening to a mystic Jew? It's because we're not gaining spiritual insights from these people. And this is what drives me absolutely insane, because it's such an easy thing to understand. But those anti-Semitic so-called Christians who want to go in and sow discord and they want to ruin, they want to try to get in the way of Christians who just want to spread the gospel to these people with lies and things. Whenever we quote a rabbi or if we quote a Kabbalist or something like that, we don't always take time to say, because it's obvious, now we don't gain spiritual insight from these people. That's not why we're quoting them. We're quoting them because they have a cultural understanding that we here in the States don't have. And we don't go in the time to put that caveat on every single time we quote one of these people, because it's pointless to do that. We shouldn't have to do that. It's obvious that we quote them because they understand culturally the culture, they understand the Jewish culture, and they understand Judaism in a way that we as Christians in the U.S., we don't have access to that level of understanding. So we're not getting spiritual insight from these people. I want to demolish that straw man argument right off the bat, because I know people are gonna say stuff in the chat, and they're gonna get in the comment section, and they're gonna say, oh, Josh Peck is just shilling for Israel. He's quoting mystic rabbis. It's such a weak argument. I mean, you know, I actually don't believe, like, the people, these anti-Semitic, you know, so-called Christians, I don't even believe they believe what they believe, because they're not very strong in their convictions. They have the weakest arguments I've ever heard in my life to support their claims. And it's stuff like that. It's all straw man stuff. But anyway, I'll make that caveat one time, and I'm not making it again. But that is why sometimes we quote rabbis, mystic rabbis, Kabbalists, Orthodox Jews. Look at what we're quoting. We're not saying that we convert to their religion and we take part in their practices. No one is saying that. When we quote these people, it's for that reason, because they have a cultural understanding that we don't, and that can be useful to us. The more we understand them, the better we can show them the truth. The better that the better we know how to communicate with them on their own terms, communicate with them in order to present the gospel to them. Like Paul said, he said that he was all things to all men, but without falling into sin. So we don't sin. We don't take part in their practices that are antithetical to Christianity. We don't do that. But we try to understand their culture, understand their mindset, understand where they're coming from. Understand does not mean agree. We understand that, so we know how best to present the gospel to them. That's why. But also, this helps us understand where they're coming from with this stuff, with this idea that the rise in anti-Semitism will lead to who they are going to think is their Messiah, but really might be the Antichrist. So Rabbi Nir Ben Artzi, again, a well-known mystic rabbi, has said, quote, "Anti-Semitism in the world is terrifying. The non-Jews in the world feel that the Messiah needs to come out, and they are going crazy. The anti-Semitism will continue to increase even when the non-Jews attack other non-Jews. It is a warning to the Jews. This will not cease until the last Jew comes to Israel," end quote. So Rabbi Nachman Kahana is personally invested in the return of the Jewish people to the Holy Land as part of the Geula, or redemption process. So born in Brooklyn, Rabbi Kahana, he is a spiritual leader of Yazan Yechezkel. I'm terrible with Hebrew. I can't pronounce half the words, but I try. It's a synagogue in the old city. So he is the Av Bet Din of the Sanhedrin, and as a Kohen, or male descendant of Aaron the priest, established the Center for Kohanim, which keeps a database of reliable Kohanim in Israel. His brother, Rabbi Meir Kahani, founded the Jewish Defense League and the political party Kach, I think. Catch. I don't know how to pronounce half these words again. I'm sorry, but his nephew, Rabbi Baruch Kahin, Kahani, instructs Kohanim in the temple service and frequently serves as the Kohen Gadol in temple reenactments. Okay, so that's the backstory of this guy. And so he says, quote, "You have to start from the premise that on the fifth day of Iyar, that a heavenly ruling came down to earth on the fifth day of the Hebrew month of Iyar, 5708 years after the creation of the world, which is the 14th of May, 1948, the Jewish state was declared and the exile was finished. The Jews are coming back home, and the exile would vanish little by little. The punishment was over and the anger was over, the final big case of anger being the Holocaust. Now is the era for God to make us great in the land of Israel. The flip side is that the end of the golden age of the Jews in exile was finished. There will be economic pressure, anti-Semitism, and other factors. With assimilation, the Jews in exile will eventually disappear. The Jews have no future outside of Israel. You can't have Jews in Israel and Jews in exile at the same time. We are either here or there." End quote. Now, Rabbi Kahana referred to two verses from the prophet Jeremiah. So Jeremiah 31:15-16, And we read that at the beginning, but we'll read it again. And this is from the Israel Bible, because that's what they are quoting. But it says, "Thus saith Hashem, restrain your voice from weeping, your eyes from shedding tears, for there is a reward for your labor, declares Hashem. They shall return from the enemy's land, and there is hope for your future, declares Hashem. Your children shall return to their country." So he continues, quote, "If the Jews come back from the enemy's land, they are not described in as God's children. Everyone is welcome, but if a Jew comes to Israel because of troubles in the exile, because of anti-Semitism, he is accepted like a stepson. You need to come here because you want to come back to the land of the Bible. This is going to happen, and Israel should be preparing for a huge aliyah. There is plenty of space that's being taken up by the Arabs. The Arabs have had a caretaker status. They will go away, but it will be the Arabs that cause it. The Jews will not throw them out, because that is not the Jewish way. The Arabs in Israel belong to seven clans who, were it not for the common hatred of the Jews, they would have killed each other off a long time ago. It is important to remember that anti-Semitism in America is only a certain sector of America. We have good friends in America. In Germany, before the war, only 5% of the Germans belonged to the Nazi Party, but they moved in silent majority to horrible extents. They controlled the country. This can happen in America," end quote. And again, Rabbi Kahana said this. He warned that having allies in America was only a partial solution, and that this danger was still very real. Now, again, it's important that we look at how they interpret their own prophecies, even if we don't agree with those interpretations. Because if an Antichrist figure is going to come, and if he is going to deceive the Jewish people, he is going to fulfill their interpretations of prophecies, most likely. I mean, if you wanted to deceive somebody, you would probably try to fall in line with something they already believed in. It just makes sense. So if the Antichrist is going to deceive the Jewish people, let's say today or in a few years or in a couple of decades, whenever it's going to be, that person is going to look at what they already believe about the Messiah, about their Messiah, and his arrival, and he's going to fulfill that as much as possible, because that's just going to help deceive them. So it's important for us Christians to look at that and understand what they believe, understand how they interpret their own prophecies, so we know best how to win them over to the faith, how to show them that their Messiah has come. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. It's important for us to know where they're coming from, so we can kind of meet him halfway. Now, the assessment that an era is ending was shared by Rabbi Pinchas Winston, a prolific End of Days author. So Rabbi Winston said, quote, "The Jews were spread around the world for the exile for a purpose, to spread the light of Torah. As God's emissaries, they were afforded a certain level of protection. Now that the mission is over or in a new stage, that blanket of protection is revoked," end quote. So the rabbi noted that prophets usually preface their predictions by relating recent events that should have been known to everybody and their implications understood. So he says, he quotes, Jeremiah actually refers to the Jewish people as stupid in Jeremiah 4:22, which again, this comes from the Israel Bible, that says, "For my people are stupid, they give me no heed, they are foolish children, they are not intelligent, they are clever at doing wrong, but unable to do right." So Rabbi Winston says, quote, "Stupid is not unintelligent or uninformed. God has patience for these. Stupid is when you know something, but you ignore it. The stupidest things the Jews do is downplaying the danger. Nothing has changed. The cursory look at history shows that anti-Semitism is the default, even in its most extreme forms. Nothing has changed, but Jews in the U.S. think that the Holocaust can never happen again. So never again now refers to the Mexican border," end quote. Now those are you know, obviously his words, not mine. So that's Rabbi Winston. So again, these people have insights on their own culture that we as Americans don't have, or if we have those insights, then it's for the wrong reasons. Because of course you do hear a lot of anti-Semites that are referring to Jewish people in that way, but I don't believe that's what Rabbi Winston here is actually doing. But I have seen this attitude creep into the church, and it is infuriating. It is as infuriating to me as, and it should be to everybody, as if you know, racism against black people was creeping into the church or something like that. You know, I mean, it's just as infuriating. Yet a lot of Christians find it very easy to fall in and very comfortable falling into this anti-Semitic attitude and really spewing a lot of hate and a lot of unfounded conspiracy theories against the totality of Jewish people. And they use straw man arguments to do it. Now, listen, criticism is not hate. You know, you can criticize a country, you can criticize America, you can criticize a people group. You know, criticism in and of itself is not hate. So I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about people who just, you know, criticize, you know, bring things up that are just true. Like, you know, the country of Israel has some problems, like with their acceptance of homosexuality and that kind of stuff. And fair enough. America has that same problem. So I love America, but I can criticize America's positions or at least half of America's positions on some of this stuff, because, you know, conservatives don't really buy into that. And America is more than just one party. You can criticize the leaders. All of that, that's not hate. There's nothing really hateful about that. But when it gets to the point where you're disparaging an entire people group based on really flimsy claims that don't make any sense, and then you have an inherent distrust of any Jewish person, that there's problems with that. So there is a type of theology called replacement theology, and in this idea, this states, and I disagree with it, but this states that Christians the church has replaced Israel, and Israel no longer has anything to do with God's plan. God doesn't have any plans for any special plans for Israel. It's just all about Christians. It's all about the church. And that is false. I do not agree with that at all. I think that there are plenty of prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled that do involve Israel. I believe that God absolutely has a plan for Israel. I think that was made evident by the fact that Israel became a nation again, which in and itself is a miracle. And then, you know, people want to say, yeah, but Rothschilds and Zionists and all that. It doesn't matter God's method of doing things. You know, there's a Bible verse where God actually used an evil spirit to go and deceive somebody, but it was for a good reason. You should look into that, because it's really interesting. It's a part of the whole divine counsel narrative. But God has done thing. God has had his perfect will actualized in a lot of ways that we would not expect. And does that mean that God is evil, or that God is making a mistake? Of course not. You know, of course not. It's his perfect will, and he can do it however he wants to do it. He's God. So if he decides to use, let's say, evil people to start up the nation of Israel again because it's time to do that, so be it. That has no bearing on the fact that it still happened, and it was done by design, and it was a fulfillment of prophecy. It has no, like, the way that it gets done, like, what, when I'm sorry, guys. I get really frustrated with this, and I try to be, like, cool and collective about it, but it's incredibly frustrating. When has God ever fit our perfect mold, our perfect model of how we feel God should behave? You know, God makes promises. His will is perfect. His plans are perfect, and he can exact those plans in any way he chooses. There are plenty of times in the Bible where he has used pagans. He has used non-Christians to have his will completed. That is not outside of the norm. So that the constant railing against Zionists, you know, the whole conspiracy theory against Zionists that, like, Jews run the world and Zionists are chilling for the Jews and stuff, like, it gets so tired. For one thing, what is a Zionist? Because with these people, I know what a Zionist is. But with these people, you don't ever get a cohesive definition that they all agree on. with these anti-Semitic people that want to bash Zionists and stuff. You don't ever get a cohesive definition that they all agree that this is what Zionism is. They all have wildly different interpretations of that. So that alone is enough for me to just throw out the whole conspiracy altogether. But not only that, if you do manage to get a definition out of them, they're adding much more to the definition than what's actually there. So, like, you know, we'll do it right now. Let's look up Zionism in the dictionary. Let's see what it says. The belief, okay, this is just from dictionary.com. The belief that Jews should have their own nation, Jewish nationalism. And then it gives a little bit more backstory to it. Zionism gained much support among Jews and others in the early 20th century, and the hoped-for nation was established in the late 1940s in Palestine as a state of Israel. That Palestine thing, that is not correct. Palestine was never a place. There was never a country called Palestine. But anyway, I digress. In Palestine as the state of Israel, Zionism is opposed by most Arabs. All right. So without the backstory or the history of Zionism, the definition just is the belief that Jews should have their own nation. That's it. So according to that definition, I absolutely am a Zionist, and I'm not going to be scared away by a couple of people online who want to add all this stuff to that, who want to add all of these ridiculous conspiracies onto that definition and say that Zionism is more than what it is. You know, Zionism does not mean that you are best friends with the Rothschilds, and it has nothing to do with that. I believe the state of Israel should exist. I believe the Jewish people should have their own nation. I believe that that is totally fine. You know, and by the way, I believe that about us Americans. I believe that about Canadians. I believe that about Mexicans. You know, I believe everybody should be able to have their own nation. All right. So, you know, Zionism isn't any more special in regards to just that definition than any other view I would have about any other people group. So I don't have any problem saying that I'm a Zionist because of that. There's no issue there. And you know, I know some people will get in the comment section, and they'll say, you know, well, you just haven't done your research, Josh. Yeah, I have, and it's flimsy. The research into this grand conspiracy that you know all the Jews are secretly controlling the world, and the evidence for that is so flaky and so flimsy. There is nothing to research except a whole bunch of conspiracy blogs and cite me some real sources. And when people do that, then they say, well, the Rothschilds started, you know, Israel, and they were so involved, and you have all these evil people involved in this. Okay. Does that mean that the nation of Israel is inherently evil? Of course not. What a ridiculous thing to say. That's the same attitude as these people who say that America is inherently evil because it was founded on racism. It was not founded on racism. But they'll say that. So it's that same kind of attitude. It's the same flimsy approach. It's ridiculous, and I personally I want no part in it. And there are Christian ministries, big Christian ministries, that feed this to their congregation. They feed this hatred. They feed these baseless conspiracies. They feed that to their congregation, and all the while that they're focused on that, they're not focused on Jesus and spreading the gospel to the people who really need it, the Jewish people who need to know who their Messiah is. They're not focused on trying to reach them with the gospel because they're too focused on the Jews running the world, the conspiracy, hatred kind of stuff. You know, how are you going to effectively witness to a Jewish person and try to introduce that person to their Messiah if you don't have any love for them? If you don't have any love for them or their eternal souls, and you think that they are just out to get you, how are you going to effectively spread the gospel to them that way? You're not. You're going to be ineffective. God will not be able to use you. You're going to be useless, basically. And you'll be all your whole life. You'll just be sitting and stewing in your own hatred, making up your own conspiracies that will never be proven. And you will have wasted your life. You will have wasted your calling. Jesus has a calling for each and every one of us. It is to make disciples of all nations. That includes Israel. It's all nations. Anyway, I wanted to talk about that. This video will probably get deleted if it ever gets up on YouTube, but that's why you should go become a member at dailyrenegade.com. Here's where you can do that. Yeah, make sure you become a member today at dailyrenegade.com because you'll get full PEC reports. And also, part of your donation actually does go to, or not donation, part of your membership fee does go to efforts in Israel to minister to Jewish people, to spread the gospel to them. What is the best way to spread the gospel to a Jewish person? You minister to them. Become their friend. Do something nice for them. They'll be more willing to hear what you have to say because they're human beings. We're all like that. So we support two ministries that minister to the Jewish people and help spread the gospel. We've talked about that before. We also support a pro-life ministry and we support St. Jude's. So your membership fee, 20% of that goes to all those areas. So your membership fee supports some pretty cool stuff. So you want to become a member at dailyrenegade.com. Also, if you go to Daily Renegade, there's lots of cool things that you can check out, especially if you're a chronic pain sufferer like I am. I've really got a heart for people who deal with pain every day. I do. I know how much it can really take out of you. There are times where life just doesn't even feel worth living because if every day is going to be full of pain, who wants that? I totally understand that feeling. I dealt with that for years, but not so much anymore because I found out about Kratom. So Coastline Kratom is awesome. This people have used this to get off of opioids, and it takes care of my pain really, really well. It makes it very manageable. Now, it's not a miracle. It's not a cure. It's not going to completely take every ounce of pain that you're ever going to have in life away. But it can make it manageable. And I've had extreme chronic pain my whole life, but not anymore. Now it's manageable. I'm able to work. I'm able to play with my kids. I actually feel my age, maybe a little bit younger, which is nice because even when I was a teenager, I felt like I had the body of a 60-year-old or even older than that because I couldn't walk and get around. I mean, I've had a hip replacement. It's pretty rough stuff. But Kratom has been great. It's a game changer. It's given me my life back. So I want to provide you guys with anything that I think might help. So I have tried Kratom. I take Kratom every single day. It's wonderful. And if you want to try it too, I suggest you do your own research. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can go through Coastline Kratom, which you can find at dailyrenegade.com. They have a money-back guarantee also. So if you don't like it, you can send it back. But you do have to set up a Zelle Pay account on their website because most credit card companies don't want to deal with the sale of Kratom. Although we are looking at a company right now that we might try that does accept credit cards for Kratom sales. And if that's something that you would be interested in, I would love it if you would let me know. joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com. Let me know because we're looking at a company that provides CBD and Kratom and they accept credit and debit cards. So we'll see about that. I have to before I can sign on with any company, I got to really look into them and make sure that they are reputable and they're not selling garbage, basically, with this kind of stuff, it's not just about making money for me or anything. I want to actually provide you guys with some relief from your pain if you have some, and who doesn't? I mean, we all have, at the very least, we all have bad backs. Anyway, so this can help. Something else that's cool about it that it did for me, I don't know if this is the same for everybody, but it normalized my appetite. I used to have just an insatiable appetite, and I used to be really overweight. Kratom has helped kind of regulate my appetite to just normal, like just what's a normal kind of thing. So that's been great. So dailyrenegade.com or click in the link in the description below. While you're there, you can check out CBD Pure and CBD Pets. It is absolutely organic and pure. They test every batch they make through a third-party testing facility. It's the best CBD on the market today. And they also have a money-back guarantee. So you can go to dailyrenegade.com, find the ad for that. I also take CBD every day. I take it an hour before bed. I sleep great. And I haven't had to take as much Kratom since doing CBD. It's kind of, that has also helped with some of my chronic pain, which has really been nice. And lastly, another thing you can find is colloidal silver. I've heard a lot of people just raving about colloidal silver, and I finally had a chance to try it when I got a really bad stomach flu. And I took this. It's an immune booster, apparently, and this is just all anecdotal stuff, but it really helped. I felt better faster. So people will take this every day to just boost their immune system so they don't get sick as often. So you can find that as well. Silver of Life, it is the number one rated pure colloidal silver. It's absolutely pure. It's great, nice and clean. And so you can also use it as like a household cleaner. Now you would think, you know, household cleaners should not be ingested, but that's because most household cleaners are loaded with chemicals that you should not ingest, of course, and you can't put on your skin because your skin soaks it up. Colloidal silver is totally different. You can drink colloidal. It's not loaded with chemicals. There's nothing harmful in it. So you can drink it, you can, and it doesn't have a bad, it just tastes like water really, but you can drink it, you can clean with it, makes a good disinfectant. So a lot of people use it for that. And then you don't have all these dangerous chemicals around your house that you're breathing in and, that your kids are exposed to, because even if you just wipe down a counter, those fumes, I mean, you're breathing all these chemicals in that it says right on the label not to ingest. And here we are soaking it through our skin and breathing it in. So it's not good. Colloidal silver is great for you, though. That's not going to hurt you at all. So dailyrenegade.com, you can check that out. And while you're there, please do become a member. You'll get the rest of this Peck Report. You'll get the rest of every show that we do. We have a lot of shows, and we're adding new ones on. And we have a lot more. We have a lot more interesting things for you guys that we're going to be adding to the website. And we're going to be developing apps and stuff for phone and TV. So we're also looking at possibly doing an online conference, which will be a lot of fun. So all of that and more is coming. So become a member of Daily Renegade today. Again, the price is, as of right now, it is $10 a month or $100 a year. Because of everything that we're building here, that price might have to increase. But if it does increase, it will not increase for existing members. It will only be for new members. So get a membership now. Get the annual. The way to save the most amount of money is to get the annual membership, because you get 2 months for free that way. And you just have to pay for it once, and you don't have to think about it for a whole year. So it's a great deal. That is the best deal we can offer today. So make sure you do that. If you're an existing member, you won't have to pay any more. You won't get a price hike in your membership fee. That will just be for new members. So get one today. Okay, so we're going to say goodbye to everybody viewing for free. Thank you so much. We got a lot more to talk about. So go become a member and watch the rest of this Peck Report. There's some really important stuff. This video is probably already going to get deleted because we're talking about Jewish people and anti-Semitism and it's pro-America and it's pro-God. So it's probably already going to get at least shadow banned. But the stuff that we're going to get into next is even more controversial than that and absolutely will get deleted, which is why we have a member section in the first place. So go over to dailyrenegade.com, get a membership, and you can view the rest of this Peck Report. All right, everybody, members, hang on the line. We're going to do some more stuff here for everybody else. Thank you so much. Take care. God bless. All right, members, great to have you aboard. Thank you so much for your membership. So some scary lessons that we can learn from history that is largely ignored by quite a bit of Americans, at least half. But not only are these lessons ignored, but the opposites are widely embraced by this fringe, weird minority of leftist activists that want to seriously... They want to admittedly see the end of America as we know it. They don't try to hide that. I mean, they say that openly and proudly, as if that is something to be proud of. So OneNewsNow.com has this interesting perspective piece. It's an opinion piece from... let me see who the writer is real quick. Robert Knight, and he's a contributor to the Washington Times and One News Now. And this column first appeared on the Times website. But I thought it was really good, and I wanted to go through what he has to say, because there's a lot of stuff to comment on here. And you know, we should, because this is America. This is our culture too. And if the leftists get their way, if they get their way, they are going to launch us headfirst into Armageddon. I mean, it's going to be really bad, really fast. So we need to understand. We need to learn lessons from history. The more of us that are educated, the less of them there are, and the less power and control they'll have. So that's what we need in this country. So Knight says, according to social media rules, the first person in an argument to bring up Hitler or Nazi loses. Well, here it goes. Hitler may be overused as shorthand for evil, and name-calling is stupid, but this unbending rule would mean that we can never impart lessons learned from the rise of Nazi Germany, and that would be a terrible mistake, and it's how the left would like it. You know, they want us to forget what National Socialism, fascism, and communism, not to mention Antifa, really have in common. They all spring from the poisoned root of Marxism, and this is what we need to understand. Now, today we ignore extreme rhetoric and thuggish threats at our own risk. You know, the way that Germany's Jews tried to do before it was too late. They were told the brown shirt menace was a phase that would pass. You know, just a few hotheads, it'll pass. The political cartoons depicting Jews as fools and rats and, you know, malignant traitors, they were told that those would also go away as people of goodwill would see through them. If you want some details on this, you can check out William L. Shire's Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. But then came November 9th through the 10th, 1938, and Kristallnacht, when nearly 100 Jews were murdered, thousands of Jews beaten, 30,000 Jewish men arrested, and schools, synagogues, and businesses vandalized, leaving piles of broken glass. So we are not remotely in a similar situation to that, thank God. But the point is that relentless demonization, if unchecked, it can lead to intimidation and violence. We could find ourselves in that situation sooner rather than later. And it won't be just against Jewish people this time. It'll be against probably some of them, but it'll be against Christians, conservatives, and anybody even remotely right of center. Actually, anybody, a lot of centrists would probably be demonized too. The left today are demonizing Christians, white people, conservatives, and anyone supporting President Trump. So having lost the economic argument and any reasonable grounds for impeachment, the left has made racist America their new boogeyman. You know, it's epitomized by a so-called racist president. You know, all social ills begin with America's original sin of slavery. In the United States, it's still a terrible white supremacist society in their own terms. And the rule of law, the U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence, you know, national borders, all of these, according to them, are just the tools of white and largely Christian male racist America that must be overthrown for the common good. So never mind that millions of women and minority Americans are freedom-loving, productive citizens who are patriots and also happen to own guns. No, the way the left looks at these people is they're too stupid to know any better. So who's the real racist here? Now, if you believe that Trump is as evil as depicted nonstop by, you know, CNN and other media, then you may start thinking that violence against him and his supporters would be justified. You know, after all, Joe Biden, Cory Booker, Robert De Niro, they've all openly fantasized about beating up, physically assaulting President Trump. In fact, even just last Wednesday, Beto O'Rourke, who is from El Paso and calls for open borders, he tweeted, quote, 22 people in my hometown are dead after an act of terror inspired by your racism, end quote. Then there's The Hunt, this new movie, which was slated for release in late September before it was pulled. Hollywood Reporter writes, quote, the violent R-rated film follows a dozen MAGA types who wake up in a clearing and realize they are being stalked for sport by elite liberals, end quote. On July 21st, after Trump pointedly criticized the four leftist Democrat fresh persons known as the Squad, Senator Booker told CNN that Trump is quote, literally fanning the flames of racial violence, end quote, and that the president's remarks were, quote, clearly bigoted, vile, and dangerous, end quote. The same went for Trump's criticism of Representative Elijah Cummings' Baltimore district as crime-ridden, which it is, and rat-infested, which it is, but truth is no defense, according to these people. So last Tuesday, the New Hampshire state chair for the Booker campaign tweeted, quote, Donald Trump is planning to hold a rally in Manchester. As we've seen repeatedly over the last few years, these rallies serve as a breeding ground for racism and bigotry that inspire white nationalist attacks like the one in El Paso on Saturday. That is why Trump must cancel this rally, end quote. So only the Democrats apparently get to hold rallies. And there's no mention of Dayton, Ohio mass murderer, who was a leftist who admired Senator Elizabeth Warren. No mention of that, of course. It's not enough to assail the president. The whole country is evil. So speaking at Charleston's Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, where a white supremacist murdered 9 black people in 2015, Senator Booker threw gasoline on the race fire. He was lamenting white supremacy, which he said was, quote, ingrained in our politics since our founding, end quote. He also said, quote, racist violence has always been a part of the American story, never more so than in times of transition and times of rapid social change. There is no neutrality in this fight. You are either an agent of justice or you are contributing to the problem, end quote. So in other words, you're either an extreme leftist Democrat or you're a racist, basically. So the black hooded Antifa thugs are agents of justice, while 63 million people who voted for Donald Trump are irredeemable white supremacists, according to these people. Representative Joaquin Castro, Texas Democrat, tweeted on Monday the names of 44 constituents in his own district who donated to President Trump's campaign and were fueling a campaign of hate, according to him. It's the same tactic used after California's Prop 8 marriage vote in 2008. LGBTQ activists exposed donors' names and addresses on a Google map so they could harass them. Rules for Radicals author Saul Alinsky, he counseled activists to accuse their opponents of what they themselves do and to make it highly personal. What are we seeing today? So this shrill radical chorus of haters, they cry hate and racism and white supremacy for a reason. It intimidates people who might be inspired to oppose their plan to transform America into a place where people shut up and submit if they know what's good for them. I mean, that's their plan. That's what they want. It's a totalitarian dream. But if we are intimidated to just shut up and take it, then we're going to allow them to destroy the country, and we can't do that. Now, of course, we should never act in violence, and we all know that. You know, they are blaming us for things that they themselves participate in. They blame us for violence; they're violent. They blame us for racism; they're racist. And it's continuing. So we need to be aware of that fact. We need to be aware of those efforts from our opponents. And ultimately, like I've said before, the solution to all of this is Jesus. We need to go out and evangelize these people. We need to get them saved. We cannot have the attitude that it's hopeless. Can't do it. We can't hate them the same way they hate us. You know, they hate us. They think that we are irredeemably racist, and there's no changing that. We can't hate them that way. We have to love our enemies the way that the Bible tells us. We have to love them to the end that we know there is hope for them. They can come to Jesus. And Jesus, if they get saved, that fixes all the other problems. You know, if they actually decide they want to start following Jesus, well, they got to make a lot of changes in their lives. And they don't have to convert to conservatism. That just kind of naturally will happen once they accept Jesus and start a relationship with him. Not that conservatism or all conservatives are perfect, by no means. Nobody's perfect, of course. But Jesus is the solution to all this. So I hope that inspires all of us. And this is my prayer. I hope that inspires all of us to get out there, get busy, start winning people for the kingdom, start introducing people to Jesus, and turning this country around. Because politics always follows the culture. So if we can have more of a Christian culture, politics is going to naturally follow that. So let's hope and pray that that is the case. But it's up to each of us individually to make that happen. So hey, you got access to the internet. You know, there's no reason you can't do what I'm doing. Get out there, make some videos, put out some Facebook posts on why people should accept Jesus. You know, let's go out and make disciples of all nations as we are instructed by Jesus Christ to do. All right, everybody, thank you so much. This has been a blast. I, of course, would like to know what you think. Leave me a comment. And until next time, thank you again for your membership. Take care and God bless.